Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
And what we do here at the Liars Club for you guys that are just joining us for the first time is we have some of our comedy pals come on. We ask them to tell two stories. One is the truth, one is a lie. We'll ask a bunch of questions. You can ask a bunch of questions because we're live right now on the Comedy Store YouTube. And then Austin here will relay your questions and your thoughts to us, and we'll have a grand old time. Right, Jessica?
We're going to have a ball.
Yes. Yes.
Can't wait. I've lost 12 pounds.
Okay. You have?
Yes, thank you.
You have? You've lost 12 pounds?
Nice.
That's really
already.
Awesome. Wow.
Yeah, no carbs for like 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Well, so not none, but...
Right. What's the thing you miss the most?
Just bread.
Yeah, yeah.
Carbs.
Good for you, Jessica. That's a big feat for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you introduce our wonderful guest, please?
I would love to. You look fabulous today, by the way.
Thank you. You did too.
Across from me, this lovely lady, originally from New York City. She is a LA comedian now. You can see her all over town. This is Jessica and Sarah.
So happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming.
Yay.
We can't wait.
Sorry, I had to move the fan.
We're having another double Italian day.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
So this gentleman started as a musician, but now he does comedy, right? You've seen him on Coming to the Stage. Which was a TV show that he was funny on.
Okay. Way to go with the professionalism.
That's my credit. I used to be a musician, and I was on a show once.
Allegedly funny.
This is what I found online about you. I mean, I know the guy's
We're
nice.
We're just friends. What the fuck? Google your friends? I'm glad I was late.
I'm not done. Okay. So he was also nominated for a Shortly Award.
Shortly Award.
Shorty.
Not the thousand years ago, don't give a shit about
a Shortly Award. That just doesn't sound good even.
Fast
a Shortly
to the show. The show part of the show.
Shortly Awards are for projects that never get done.
Well, I had a good vine once. I won a Shortly Award.
All right. Well, a shorty for the funniest YouTube comedian, because he's really funny on YouTube. And he does shows all around town. This is Mike Falzone.
Hello.
Yes. Yay.
Everything you've
Thank
just
you
heard
for
is great.
Coming to the podcast.
Thank
Mike
you for
Falzone.
Having me. I love you both very much. Yeah,
yay.
Very funny.
I think you might want to check your website, though, because I think it says Shortly.
That's hilarious. and once again, we have Austin Walker over here, and we have Michael Evans here in the control booth. Turn your camera on. Give it a wave.
Yay, Michael.
And he is switching the camera for us, and a mighty fine gentleman along with our on-air producer, Austin Walker. Okay, so... Why don't we just jump into it? What do you say?
Yes.
Or would you like to chit-chat a little more?
I mean, I've had fun.
Okay, all right.
All right. I've had my fill.
All right. So, Mike Falzone, why don't you go first? So, what we're going to do, though, is you'll each will tell two stories, and we're going to rotate it around, and then afterwards, we'll make the big vote afterwards. So,
okay. Yeah. I'd like to put it to the table. Would you like to hear the story of my most embarrassing moment, or the first time a high school coach used my high school nickname?
Well, what was your high school nickname?
Is this part of the story?
Well, but the thing is, it seems to me those should be the same story.
You would think.
Yeah.
Was
you
it
would think.
Shortly?
When you have
yeah.
as many.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all comedians. When you've had as many embarrassing moments, it's tough.
I love
to...
embarrassing moments. Go with that.
Okay, we'll do that.
Right?
Yeah.
This is my most embarrassing moment.
Okay.
As a child and as a grown man, both, I am an extremely large wrestling fan. It's my favorite thing in the world. Pro
still?
Wrestling.
Still?
Still.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not
like
great,
it's
still...
got a big resurgence, too.
Always, kind of.
Yeah.
It's a part of the Americana experience.
Oh, for sure. Even as a kid, my dad took me to go see wrestling, and there was a
you
guy...
You went to go to a live one?
Oh,
I did, too. Oh, yeah, but
the
it was like... Yeah, it was not good. It wasn't a fancy one, but it was like where a guy wrestled a bear.
Yeah.
And I remember there was
sometimes
this woman...
Sometimes you gotta put a bear on the plate.
Yeah, that's right. And there was this old woman. I remember this... I must have been like 9 years old, and there was this old woman. She had no teeth, and she kept... And she was sitting right next to me, and she kept yelling, "Kill the bear! Kill the bear!" And that I was like, this is some deep shit here in Stockton, California.
She might have just been worried about her safety. She was the security guard.
I think she was so not worried about her safety.
Wow, you got to see a bear and a man wrestle.
And he wrestled for a beer.
Oh, shit.
The bear wrestled for a beer.
Did the bear win?
The bear fucking won. Of course the bear won.
Tough to beat a bear.
Doesn't the bear always?
That's the first rule of wrestling is that it's notoriously tough to beat a bear.
That's right.
Everybody knows
what I want to know is, did you ever watch Glow and Pow like I did?
I watched Glow. I watched a documentary on Glow. Does that count?
No, I grew up obsessed with ladies wrestling.
Oh, shit.
No surprise.
Well, there were ladies in the wrestling that I saw, but they weren't involved in the same way.
No.
This isn't part of the story.
Farmer's daughter.
Sorry, we got on a tangent.
So I, too, went to a live wrestling event.
Okay.
And my favorite wrestler of all time is called Bret the Hitman Hart. Canadian
hero.
Oh,
I know him.
Yes.
Right? I know him.
Pink and Black Attack, so on and so forth. So you might recall that Bret Hart did a thing where he would come down to ringside. He was like the ultimate good guy. And he had these cool-ass glasses.
Oh, yeah.
And he would give them to a small fan. At all times. It was like part of his entrance.
Small. You didn't have to be a kid, just small.
Just had to be small. You could be 83.
Just shortly.
Be the size of a kid. Have a head size of a kid. So we were at the New Haven Coliseum in Connecticut, and it was an untelevised show. But I still, on TV, you see everyone reaching out, and they get the hand slaps from the wrestlers. So that's all I wanted to do. So every time a wrestler came out, I would bolt up to the barricade, and I'd stick my little hand out, and they all missed me, except for, skipping a lot of stuff, when Bret Hart came out. And Bret Hart saw me, and I was like, dude, this is like seeing Batman in real life. It's insane. You see a real-life superhero. So he came out. And he touched my hand, and I was like, okay, he touched my hand. That's it. He's going to go give the glasses something else. You know, I can't have the hand slap and the glasses. That's too much.
Even as a little kid.
Aiming low.
You aimed low like that?
Well, yeah, right? And I was the shortest of the bunch, and I recognized my privileged upbringing, so I'm like, I can't have both of those things. There's no way. Right? So then he made a loop around, and I guess some kids were being dicks because he came around, and he gave me the glasses. And he put the glasses on my little head, and he adjusted them with his thumbs, and he said something, I don't remember what he said. It was all like woo, 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 like that. And I peed a little bit in my pants.
Oh, I hope this is the truth.
And I don't know that he noticed.
I'm not upset about it because I peed a little bit in my pants today in the beginning.
Please. I've shit my pants, please.
But have you shit your pants in front of Bret the Hitman Hart, Canadian hero?
No, I have not shit my pants in front of any wrestlers.
So basically, that's my embarrassing story is I peed in my pants in front of Bret Hart, but I'm not sure that he noticed.
Oh, so how, what I wanted to ask first off is how much urine? Like how much did you pee?
Probably like half a full pee.
Like actual volume.
Yeah. Like enough that I had to hide it. I had to tell my dad and then I had to hide it. What? And then I pretended to spill a snow cone on it.
Smart.
So I had cherry pissed in my pants.
What kind of pants were you wearing?
I was wearing dungarees.
We just named the episode Cherry Pissed My Pants.
Cherry Pissed My Pants.
Episode 407.
Like someone else pissed my pants.
It's a great title.
Somebody online wants to know if you still have the glasses.
Oh, still have the glasses for sure.
Okay.
You do?
They were in rough shape. He would sign all of them, so it said like to my biggest fan or whatever. They were all like generically signed, and then be like Bret Hart.
Huh.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
What color are they?
They're pink. They're bright pink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Dude, I love you guys' reading faces.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of hard to believe that this is your most embarrassing moment.
Yeah, this is my hero.
Far worse.
Just knows you.
And how old were you?
I sure said my first embarrassing moment.
How old were you?
How old was I?
Uh-huh.
Eight. Yeah.
Why'd you pee your pants?
Because I was so excited. I'm an only child. I didn't get out much. Uh-huh. And then you're in front of your hero. Everybody's screaming.
Wow.
That's a piss pants situation.
Yeah, and he got the hand slap and the glasses.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh.
That's a two time.
Did you ever have fear after that whenever you would get excited? Oh, fuck, I might piss my pants again.
Only if the guy was like 6'6".
Is there a snow cone? Does anyone have a snow cone? Andy.
I actually piss every time I see a snow cone.
Were you holding the snow cone as it happened?
No. Okay. Snow cone was back at the seat, and then it was a diversion tactic.
The snow cone was back at the seat.
With his dad.
My dad.
Oh, so your dad was at the seat with his snow cone.
Yes.
And you ran up.
So yes.
Without your father.
Every time the wrestlers would come out, uh-huh. from behind the whatever backstage area, right. I would run up to get a
right.
touchy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. Did you make any? Also, it's like a short lead, but it's a touchy.
Yeah, I was going right. to say, Mike won a touchy as well.
Yeah. I was nominated for a touchy.
You probably won a lot of touchies, Spazone.
Now, was it just you and your dad and no other friends?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Did you make one of those signs or anything?
No. I was never a great speller as a kid. So I wouldn't want to risk it in public.
Right.
Can I ask a question?
Of course you may.
Who was the opponent?
Oh, that Yoko was an audience Zuna. Question. I was
Good
just about to ask.
Question.
Yokozuna. Yeah. I think he was like 500 pounds. He was a Samoan guy that they told everyone he was Japanese, so he could mm-hmm, be a sumo wrestler. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Any more questions, audience?
Wow.
All right.
Wow. How much do you think those glasses are worth?
Maybe signed they're worth a lot more, but I've seen them go online for like $6. Okay. But there's no way to prove that I wasn't the one who was like, be the best,
right,
Bret Hart or
right.
whatever.
That's true.
You know?
Very
was it
true.
A televised event?
No, this was a house show
or whatever.
Yeah.
It's so funny because I have such a burned in memory of that woman yelling wrestle the bear that I can only imagine that wrestling events that are that bad can only happen in Stockton, California. Like when you say New Haven, Connecticut, in my mind I'm like, why the fuck would people in Connecticut watch wrestling? Because to me, it was such a, yeah, for sure. But for me, it was such a specific type of audience that I thought only existed in like, you know.
Well, yeah, in different regions, they right. do it different, you know.
Yeah, right.
In North Carolina, they probably have somebody that wrestles coons, you know. And
what?
Then in Florida, you have somebody that wrestles alligators.
Uh-huh.
It's right? all animals until you get to the Northeast. Then it's Canadians only.
All right.
Bring another greasy right. Canadian down.
Yeah. In Arizona, they wrestle rattlesnakes.
Yeah. Well, they might just
Stone
catch them.
Steve
they
Austin.
Might just catch them. I don't know about wrestling. I don't know how. You know what I mean?
You're getting confused with wrangling. Right?
Yeah, wrangling. Yes,
pro wrangling.
Well, you know what? I love that your story is, and I love dirty, filthy stories, but I love that it's so out of the box and not... typical in a sense, you know.
Right.
Like, yeah, I like that. It's original.
Neither of them are filthy.
It was wholesome.
No. This is a game. I mean, this is a podcast, but it's also a game.
Mm-hmm.
So we want you know, you guys got to win. So.
Oh, we could win?
Yeah.
Well, if you fool us.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Great.
Yeah. All right, let's start.
Ante upped.
There you go.
Right.
All right. And on those beautiful words, it's your turn.
Oh, okay. So all right. So I'm going to start with. A story about a trip to Japan I took a few years back. It was a last minute trip. My best friend that I work with popped into my office.
A last minute trip
yeah,
to Japan.
It was, yeah. My girlfriend of mine pops into my office and she's like, want to go to Tokyo tomorrow? And I'm like, fuck yeah, I do. Okay. So I ended up going up on this very last minute trip, getting a flight, going for a week with her, most of which we were together. And then the last couple of nights I was on my own. And I had a corporate deal at the Peninsula Tokyo, so I decided to splurge and get myself a suite at the Peninsula for my last two nights. So I'm like, what am I going to do with my last two nights in Tokyo? Of course, I want to go check out the gay scene in Tokyo, which is...
that was like the last thing.
Nobody.
I thought you were going to be like, is there anyone wrestling a bear?
Yeah. So I wanted to check out because the scene is notoriously like still, you know, a subculture. It's still pretty taboo there. So and things aren't advertised, but there is a distinct like a known area. But of course, like the house car of the Peninsula is a Rolls Royce. So I decided to take the house car to this kind of seedy, like gay area of downtown Tokyo. And which in and of itself was problematic because I think the driver was looking at me like he couldn't believe that he had to take me there.
I'm just imagining like the rich guy from Pretty Woman driving up.
There you go. I go rolling into the Nikome district in a Rolls and I'm all by myself and I don't know what I'm going to find. Oh, but I had Googled and I found a place called Goldfinger, which...
Seems
frankly,
promising.
To me, the story ends right there.
Right.
So found it.
That is good enough. Like, whatever comes after, that's irrelevant. But so I find Goldfinger, which has online reviews that say it's mixed, it's gay, it's pretty friendly to Americans. Because a lot of, like, I don't know if you know about Japan, but a lot of establishments, like even restaurants, can be closed to foreigners. But particularly gay places, because, you know, they're like
right.
a notoriously insular culture. And it's even more so with, you know, the gay culture. So... But I get there, I'm greeted really warmly. The woman who takes my money is English speaking, cute little butch girl, lets me in, you know, I get a beer. I feel, you know, pretty relaxed and at home. It's mixed men and women. I don't see any other Americans, so I'm sticking out like a sore thumb. There's karaoke going on, and I'm like, sweet, karaoke. I love to sing karaoke. So I put my name in to sing karaoke.
Sing a little Joan Jett.
I did my that would have been an appropriate choice, certainly.
Sing a little Melissa Etheridge.
Reference all of them now. Is that what we're going to do? Jesus.
Little Indigo Girls.
Katie Lee.
Do you have Closer to Fine? Close. No, I did. I don't know. I did in my standard. I always do like Alicia Keys. And so I did my song, and some really beautiful, you know, Japanese girl walks up to me, and I think she enjoyed my singing, and she was like, "Pretty, you like pretty song." And then she pet my face, and she went, "So pretty, look like Angelina Jolie and Cameron Diaz." And I was basically like, "I love Tokyo. Like, this is my town.
This is how they see me."
I'm like, yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. I have no illusions about actually looking like an amalgam of those two hot girls.
When you said that, though, I totally see it.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes,
basically that it's just true in the reverse when like they see a Caucasian person, you know, we kind of all look alike.
I don't think so. I see it.
Well, thank you. I'll take
fuck these three that aren't backing me up on it. Come on, you guys are like, no.
I just want you to appreciate the enthusiasm with which you agree. Thank you.
You guys are like, what the fuck is Felicia up to? That's some bullshit. Like, you guys looking at me like,
maybe if you've only heard about those people.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mike.
Right. I mean, you're very pretty.
Finally. Finally, Jessica. Jesus.
This was not a referendum on my looks.
No, I know. But I'm just saying I can see that because I've seen Cameron Diaz in person. Like, when I was younger, I actually auditioned for The Mask. And there's nothing... no shit. And there's nothing worse than going into an audition and seeing Cameron Diaz walking on and you're like, oh, yeah, that's going to happen. Because she was a very beautiful woman, but I could see because you have like...
I just was tickled that they see feminine, you know, like American girl. And they mm-hmm. just like you make you into a star.
Two movie stars.
It's very cute.
Were you wearing a dress?
Probably not. I don't often, but definitely not. But hopefully I was looking cute.
Definitely not.
No, definitely. I don't wear dresses. No, I don't mean like I don't. I was probably in jeans, like whatever I would wear to a gay bar, not super dressed up, but hopefully looking cute, and definitely interested in this girl. But she's really, other than that, really spoke no English. So I ended up like linking up with
her. That's
probably
her line she says to everybody. You put Austin in a wig there and she'd be like,
probably right about that.
Angelina Jolie.
That's her first words of English and I fucking love it.
She probably gets all the girls that way. And I was no exception. And I link up with this girl and her group of friends.
You don't remember her name?
Her name is Arissa.
Arissa.
Yeah, so cute. I know.
I have something to say, but I'm not sure if it's a good thing
to
say.
You gotta say it now.
No, I'm gonna retract it.
No, you gotta say it. You gotta say it. You
totally retract it.
You gotta say it.
What was her name?
Arissa.
Was it?
That was not spelled with an L, you racist fuck. I knew where it was going.
You can't call him a racist fuck when you did the impression of
it. That's true.
I'm just saying.
That's true.
We're going to call it. Let's fucking call it.
I do an impression like that in my act, and then I generally follow up by saying, but I asked my friend if it was racist, and she said it was okay, and I took her word for it because she's an Oriental. I never get groaned. Yeah.
I asked my one Asian friend if it was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
we just had a disagreement on some Asian
I'm trying
stuff,
so hard to not say anything at all right now. You're going to bring that.
I know, because we had this big thing of Bert Kreischer's. We're making a Bert Kreischer animation when he did the podcast.
And he has two Asian best friends.
Right.
So I know a scary amount about him. Right. So I was knowing all this stuff and he was like, so me and my wife and our best friends, I was like, they're Asian. They're Asian. Your best friends are Asian.
Like she says it like that.
So Felicia tells me to go in and add some like little audio and sound effects to the thing. Uh-huh. I put some great ones in there.
They were awesome, except for...
She still loved it, so don't let her lie to you. She still laughed her ass off. She calls me and she's like, dude, everything's great, but... Kung Fu Fighting.
Oh, yeah. I knew that was coming.
And it was just a little bit of ho-ho-ho-ho. It was
that
just
is
faint.
So racist.
It was Careful. Right underneath.
It made me laugh because I was like, he fucking is so stupid.
Bert so stupid. Would have loved it.
No, you don't do that to Bert someone's friends. It. You don't do that to someone's friends.
We're all learning. All
right. Yeah, all right. Anyway.
I feel thoroughly shamed.
No. Please continue your beautiful story.
I didn't think it was racist if it was an actual impression of what happened, but but no, I am sensitive. There was one girl in the group that spoke English. The thrust of the story is that I was trying to hit on this girl and vice versa, but she didn't speak English. And so there was another girl there who I have to refer to as translator because I didn't even get her name.
That's
a good
nickname.
She might have told me, but I don't remember. And so we end up leaving that club and they take me to this really cool secret lesbian bar, which I could digress because even that was like an Alice in Wonderland, like down the rabbit hole adventure.
I just can't imagine that a bunch of women kept anything secret.
Felicia, I'm telling you, it's amazing. These lesbian bars are like unmarked. They're in buildings. They're like some of them are on like the fifth or sixth floor. It's not like New York where stuff is on the ground floor. It's so densely populated there that a lot of restaurants and clubs are on higher floors. And so you'll see like 5F, 6F because they're on higher levels.
I heard that's good in Asia too to keep away from mosquitoes.
I mean, serious. Could be in more tropical environments. Maybe not so much Tokyo. But
is that
like,
some of your Air Force knowledge there?
That was like official recon. Like keep them skeeters away.
The best way to avoid mosquitoes is to be in a building.
And the top floor though,
because they can't fly that high. Is that why?
It helps for penises too.
They can only fly up to like second floor.
Mosquitoes die after everybody.
Yeah. You know, recently I wondered where flies go at night. And apparently they just sleep anywhere, but they don't.
Bunch of homeless vagrants.
Yeah. But I didn't know flies went to sleep.
Interesting.
But I was like, you don't really see them at night. Where do they go?
Right. Entomology lesson I'm getting.
Yeah. I didn't think I was going to learn
Care
this much.
Care to comment on the recent grasshopper invasion in Vegas that's going to happen?
In Vegas?
They don't go to the third floor.
Probably not.
No, I think they went all over, though. I'm very curious about that. Anyway, so you go to the secret bar.
Oh, sorry.
Secret bar. I walk into this bar. No joke, it's the size of this room. Uh-huh. And it's like literally the length of a bar and the width of the seats at the bar and one row of seats, you know, adjacent to that. So there can't have been more than, I mean, packed. This bar had maybe 12 women. I walk in only American, and it's like one of those record scratch moments where everyone like looks and I'm like,
neat.
Hi, guys. I've been told I look like Diaz and Angelina Jolie. So I go in, I sit in the corner. And now I'm between Arissa and the translator.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to make time with this girl, you know? And
Did she write her name down for you, though?
Yes. Poor girl. I thought it was such a pretty name.
No, it's a beautiful name.
So pretty.
He made me think it.
But it is pretty funny. You can't get it. I knew where you were going to go. But now I'm trying to flirt with her. But I can only flirt through the translator, okay? And so the girl will be, you know, she'll say to the translator, like, you know, tell Jessica she's pretty. And the translator will be like, oh, she says you're pretty. And I would be like, tell her she's really pretty too. And I think the translator liked me because she'd be like, you know, she has a girlfriend, right? And
so
like,
shit.
She would keep translating and then essentially cock block her.
Yeah.
And so this was happening all night. Like I'm trying to flirt with
her. So she was saying that Arissa has a girlfriend.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so so we would be trying to flirt through this translator.
Worst threesome ever.
But didn't know. I never knew if my compliment was ever getting relayed accurately or she would relay a compliment or like a flirtation and she would always like, God, you know, editorialize.
I would have said, that's okay. I have a husband. Yeah. That's what I would have lost my shit.
I was sort of like, so do I. So this proceeded. Then we went to this restaurant that was Madonna themed. This all night restaurant. I didn't even know this existed. This is like a fun, weird highlight that,
like Madonna the singer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like all Madonna posters on the wall. All Madonna music. It was so rad. I was like, I can't believe this exists. I don't know why I'm surprised because it's very Japanese. But So that's where we ended up. And, you know, the night is waning and it's getting to that point where I'm like, how am I going to get this girl back to my suite with the translator? Like, clearly she's not going to help this happen. Mm-hmm. So I figure out that I'm going to have to invite both of them if I'm going to try to get this girl back to my hotel room. So with a not fully formulated plan, that's what I do. I'm like, oh, let's not let the night end. Let's all go back to my hotel room, which we do. And Peninsula is amazing. They like have bottles of wine laid out for you.
That sweet.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, I was like totally wanted to take advantage of it. And the bathroom and the the closet, the walk-in closet is like bigger than most hotel rooms. So we get to the hotel room, we open a bottle of wine, and then Arissa wants to use the restroom, and translator's like, she needs to use the bathroom. And I'm like, oh, sweet, like, you have to see how amazing it is. Let me show you. And so we go into the bathroom / like closet. It was like an antechamber, for God's sake. And we start making out in that room.
Because Jesus, took you long enough to fucking get to that part of the story.
No, I was like, God, come on!
We want to hear!
Right. So we start hooking up in the closet, ironically. And because we're not going to do it in front of translator. And we obviously must
have... She's listening, obviously.
Well,
right?
No, we weren't loud. No. We were in another room, but the door closed. So, okay. No, we were quiet.
She's on the other side of the doorway like, she said it's good!
She says, ooh, yeah, she said.
Right.
Can you tell her to chew a little bit? Chew a little bit.
Exactly. That's what I fully expect she was doing. She was probably like on the other side of the door because eventually she was like, hello, you know, and I was like, oh, we'll be right out. And then I hear something a little more like angry in tone in Japanese. Uh-huh. And then Arissa responds to her in Japanese. Like, who knows? Maybe she was like, you know, give us a minute or mind your effing. But I don't know. I don't know what transpired. Because then I hear a door slam and I think, oh, coast is clear. She got the point and she, you know, removed herself, which I would have done. I mean, I would have done it a lot sooner. I mean, it was obvious there was chemistry between me and the girl.
Spin to this story. Is it translator was her girlfriend?
Oh, that would be a great reveal, but no, that was no.
So what is the reveal?
Spin to the story is we go out of the closet thinking she's left and bitch faked us out. She was still in the room.
What?
Yeah, so we walk out there thinking, oh, the coast is clear. They start arguing in Japanese. I have no idea to this day what they said.
Uh-huh.
Translator storms out, and we get busy.
Oh, man. So you don't know that could have been her girlfriend.
You're right. It could have been, but
you don't know.
I feel like that would have been more obvious.
There would have been punching, I think.
I'm sure that she was friends with her girlfriend if they were
friends.
Yeah,
that's what I think. Yeah. I didn't get the sense that the actual girlfriend was there. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Wow.
Ken wants to know what that
Yeah,
is.
He does.
Ken wants to know a lot more about the kissing part.
He's like, oh, and God. Then?
I forgot for a second that we had an audience. Oh, shit.
Ken's very turned on. Oh, God.
I just turned this into a very different show.
But he did want to know what a last-minute flight like that to Japan.
Are you fucking kidding? Oh, I mean, I get it.
Well,
I'm
starting from the
top. He's playing the game.
Well, and we hadn't got to that
part. He's playing the game.
It was less than $1,000.
That's the question.
Yeah, I mean, not cheap, but I think for the day before, less than a grand.
But they didn't press you at all, like Border Patrol, for going just a quick little flight in and out. I've been watching a lot of Border Patrol on Netflix. Since like JFK Airport, they're not cool with people just going in and out.
I've never been asked to go last minute somewhere that far. I mean, at the most, like, you want to go to Myrtle Beach tomorrow?
I know.
But here's my question, and I'll piggyback on Ken's question. What about the suite? How much did that cost?
Suite was probably, with my discount, maybe about $400 a night. It wasn't,
And how long ago was this?
About 3 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
I get a corporate discount because my day job... working for a plastic surgeon, we send all our patients to recover at the Peninsula in Beverly Hills. So they have reciprocity with Tokyo. So I call my people. I'm like, what can you do for me in Japan?
Maybe shouldn't have said that out loud.
No? Yeah. Is that bad?
What's the promo code for that Peninsula suite?
Nip and tuck. I love that story. Wow, that's a great story too. I love it.
How long ago was that?
About 3 years ago.
3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Did you go back to the hotel when you took everybody back? Did you go back in the Rolls Royce?
I knew you were going to ask. No, we didn't. We just taxied it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah. Rolls Royce is like, I'm not coming back.
No.
And did you keep in touch with her after?
we did exchange a few emails after, yes, and it was very cute. Like,
oh, yeah, Google Translate.
Exactly. And, I mean, the email, the extent of the emails were like, Arissa misses Jessica and hopes that she comes, that she returns to Japan.
That's
soon.
Adorable.
It was very cute.
Yeah. Very sweet.
But I didn't ever see her again. Oh. And then I got into a relationship, so.
Michael, do you have any thoughts on these stories?
Yeah, no, not once has the name Arissa been said without everybody smiling.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I just want to believe both stories so far. I'd have more to say by now, but I just got to hear the second ones because like, a lot of details. I like both the stories.
Yeah.
It seems pretty legit to me.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So let's move on to your second story, Mike.
Okay. This is the first time my high school coach ever used my high school nickname. My high school nickname was Struggles.
Struggles?
Yes. I made a lot of the sports teams, but I never played.
Oh my God, I'm going to tear up. That's so cute.
It's not one of those. Struggles. I wasn't a kid you'd want to root for.
Struggles? That's adorable.
I was the annoying try-hard kid. I wasn't the kid who's like, you could do it. You're the kid who like, you're on the team for sure. They have an extra jersey or something. Oh, okay. I was that kid.
Right.
So I made all the teams, but I never really played, like mostly JV, but not varsity. Basketball specifically, I would come early to practice. I would do like 100 free throws. I would stay after practice and the coach would be like, just get out of the gym. There's no reason for you to try harder. You're not going to play more. So everybody called me Struggles. The kids called me Struggles. After a while, the coaches did. But the first time a coach did it, it was on the baseball team. And I wanted to pitch really bad. And I wasn't a starter. I was a relief pitcher, right? But I finally, maybe 75% of the way through the season, they're like, we're going to start you this one game. So make sure you're warmed up. We take the bus to Brookfield, Connecticut. And I'm like, hell yeah, I'm going to start. I look down and I don't have my socks, my blue socks, but I have all these sweatbands.
Uh-huh.
So I take the sweatbands that are supposed to go on my wrist from like here to here, and I put them on my shin. So it looks like I have socks, which would have worked if somebody didn't stooge on me to the coach.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody was like, we let you start and you don't remember your socks. You're ridiculous. And this kind of shit happened all the time. But he's like, whatever. We'll look past the socks thing. Don't get any sand in your shoes. It's going to be terrible. So that's what they call baseball sand. It's dirt. They call it. I don't know why I said sand. So we get to the place and they're like, go grab a ball and go warm up in right field. So I grab a ball and there's like a bucket of balls next to a trash can. And I reach down and I try to get a ball and I hit my head on a jagged, rusty edge of the trash can, right? And I think I'm sweating because it's hot. So I wipe my brow and it's just covered in blood.
She loves injury stories.
Loves it. Can't get enough. So I hit my head and I'm like, oh, I just hit my hand. I wipe it and there's blood all over my hand, right? And I'm like, dude, first the socks thing. And now they're never going to let me pitch. I'm covered in blood.
This sounds like me, dude. Like, anytime I have something important going on, like, it seems like everything goes wrong.
Yeah, so you know how possible
it
is. So I turn around. Coach calls my name. I turn around, and there's just, like, a little bit but enough of blood streaming down my face, right? It doesn't hurt or whatever, but, like, there's, like, very – there's not much here. There's just, like, your skull and skin, so it bleeds a lot, right? So I turn around, I have blood streaming down my face, and the coach goes, Struggles, what did you do?
That was
the first time I ever heard a grown-up say it. And it broke my heart, and I sat on the bench for the rest of the day.
How old were you?
This was probably sophomore year in high school, so like 15, 16
years. Sophomore year?
Is this like before they gave trophies just for participating?
No, that was before. Like in Little League, they give everyone trophies. But high school, like coaches don't even have to be nice to you in high school.
How old are you, Mike?
Right now?
Uh-huh.
34.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you didn't get to start that day?
Did not get to start that day. And then next time I did start, some kid hit it off me and it went over a bus. Like there's the fence and then the parking lot and then the bus and it went over the bus.
Now is this high school baseball or not Little League?
High school baseball, JV. School. Yeah. I'm sorry that my stories aren't long.
Yeah. No, it's good. That's good.
Ray Verbascher would like to see a reenactment of the lesbian kissing. Revisit that.
We hate this story. Can you tell the other one again?
Sorry about that.
That's hysterical.
I
hilarious.
Only if Mike plays the other girl.
Well, no.
Just for added effects, I'll start bleeding out of my forehead. So
what I want to know is, do you now have a booming business doing children's parties as Struggles the Clown?
As Struggles the Clown is all
in the baseball clown.
Yeah, it's always a viable option. I do not at this time, but I wouldn't not.
Can you name one of your special struggles?
Struggles.
It's so good. With just you and a red nose, like,
yeah, red nose, little trickle of blood.
Netflix
out of
my logo.
I have a question because I'm thinking about your story. And you're saying that because you were the guy that always struggled, you never got to do anything, and then miraculously they're going to let you play pitch first on a game.
Yeah, you run out of good kids real fast in high school, so all the good kids are either like sore or there's a pitching rotation, and I'm like the last person in the rotation.
I smell deception.
Yeah, and then you said to her, yeah, so it does sound plausible. You said something like that to Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
That seems weird that you would say that.
Because you got to sneak little words in.
Yeah, yeah.
I think something.
Keep in mind, I was nominated for a Shortly Award.
I'm going to venture a guess that the story is not entirely fabricated, but that you are not Struggles.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Somebody else on that team was Struggles.
That's what I was thinking when he was telling the story. I was thinking the exact same thing.
Yeah. I brought all this around just to still be a high school bully.
Yeah.
Take that, Struggles.
I mean, I will say that I know from your website that you were a musician at the age of 15. So a lot of musicians don't play sports.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
That's not cool.
But 15, is that sophomore? 15 is sophomore.
Yeah.
Who was the guy who sang that song, Glory Day? It's all about pitch on
Springsteen.
Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah. That guy.
That guy. Right?
He had all those bandanas
that
and he played sports.
Wonder.
Yeah. That's a very good point because my sons both did baseball and music, but they never did it together at the same time.
Where'd you go?
So hard to play guitar. And
see, no, it's hard to do. In a school year or in a semester.
Right.
You fuck. Anyway, so you struggle. You struggler.
Still Where'd you go to high school?
I went to high school at Bunnell, Frank Scott Bunnell High School in Stratford.
Oh, shit. Someone's Googling it now.
Easily verifiable.
What about you, Michael? Did you ever play baseball?
I did play baseball.
And what are your thoughts on this story?
It sounds legit in terms of him talking about, like, I know that there's an inning limit at that age for how much you can pitch in a week. So it is possible that the other pitchers in the rotation had hit their limit and they need a guy to throw.
Mike's face looks like, thank you.
That also sounds plausible. Plausible as fuck.
And you're saying he might not have been Struggles, but imagine a dude with sweatbands for socks, pink Hitman the Heart sunglasses on, on the baseball bus, and then with blood all over his head. That dude sounds like Struggles to me.
Brett the Heart.
Yeah.
Brett the Hitman Heart sunglasses.
I will also say that it is accurate that the forehead bleeds a lot.
That's true.
Everybody
That's
knows
very
that.
True. But to hit your head on a garbage thing.
I didn't know
thing,
that, though.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
That your head
very vascular area.
Yeah. You like, even if you, like, my son once a little thing of, like, something fell off the fireplace and skimmed his head like a little shard, and he was like, wow.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to move it on. I have questions, but we're going to save it till the end. And what is your second story?
Okay, second story. This time I'm in New York on a trip. I am at the Cubby Hole, another fun lesbian bar name. And I'm with my friend Catherine.
Is that code for Cubby Hole?
For
vagina.
I didn't know.
I don't even think it's code.
I don't know. I didn't know it was called a Cubby Hole. I didn't know. I'm sorry.
It's straight up.
I've only been talking about pussy for 30 fucking years as a professional, and I've never
you
heard
You never heard that?
The Cubby Hole. No.
I can't believe we taught you something about
I
a
know.
Vagina.
Wow.
I love to enlighten and educate. So I'm with my friend Catherine, who's straight, but she's hilarious. She's Catherine Narducci. She's an actress. She was on, like, Sopranos, and, like, she was, like, the mom in Bronx Tale. So she's got a hysterical.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Funny.
That's a great I love that
accent.
Movie. Yeah.
She's
Is it the blonde lady that also played Nurse Jackie?
No.
She's dark hair.
Yeah, dark hair. Very Italian looking. Grew up in, like, I think she grew up in Harlem. Really great accent, and she's a fun wing woman in a gay bar. This trip turned into like lesbian dating game very quickly with my friend Catherine being like the Chuck Woolery because all these like contestants. I was single at the time, and I was there to maybe meet somebody.
Right. Right.
But all these contestants started to emerging, and Catherine started to be like, yeah, I like her. No, don't. No, I don't like this one. Like, she was just, like, officiating. One woman was, like, this very sweet but earnest grad student who was, like, very intent on, like, giving me, it was, like, PowerPoint presentation on why we should date and why we should go out, and it was hilarious. And then contestant number two was a pair of young blondes. They were a couple, and they were trying to invite me into, I suppose, a thruple. And I was like, girls, I could be your mother. Then contestant number three emerges, and she was like the cute, normal one, kind of like soft butch. She was a producer, very funny. And she was like the last of the prospects.
I don't think we've had any lesbian stories on this show. Thank
Real?
You.
Really? Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, so let me ask you a
Punky
question.
Punky Johnson didn't stalk a woman. Yeah, yes, that's right. We apologize, Punky. We really liked that story. It was a good
the
one.
Best story ever.
I love Punky. I'm literally always happy to follow Punky. So it was just a funny night, mostly because Catherine was deciding who I should and should not hook up with. And then the third girl comes in, her name is Megan, and she's really cute. And Catherine's like, yeah, I like her. Like H-U-H.
H-U-H.
You know? And she's like, yeah, she's the one I picked for you. Like, you should go home with her. And I'm like, and that's basically how we leave off. Like, Catherine bundles me into I guess it must have been a taxi. Things were a little fuzzy that night. I remember I was staying in a hotel, cannot remember which, Midtown. It wasn't a fancy place because I was there for work. And the girl came back to my hotel, and it was a pretty innocent night. It was late and we were hammered and we just had a hot makeout session and fell asleep. However, back home, I was at the beginning stages of a relationship. We weren't serious yet, but I was really into the girl and I thought it was going to become serious. And so I wake up in the morning and I like panic with guilt, even though I didn't even sleep with this girl. I was just remember being like petrified. And my dad, who lives in New Jersey, he was picking me up. I don't know, maybe to take me to the airport. He sometimes does that. And he's texting me that he's downstairs. I'm panicking. So I literally like wake this girl up. I'm like, you got to get out of here. And she's like, what? You know, when you're startled and you're hungover.
But I won the dating.
Yeah exactly. Catherine dubbed me. And so I literally like pack this girl up quickly and start ushering her. I'm like, I'm sorry. I've got to go. I've got to ride downstairs. But really, it's mostly guilt. And I open the door, push her out. And she's like, well, wait, I don't even know your name. And I go, it'll be a fun mystery. I slam the door in her face. And because I wasn't trying to be a jerk, but like, I don't know, it's what came out. I was like, you know, I'm always cracking jokes, whatever. And I was trying to remember, yeah, she didn't. I remember why I didn't feel as bad about being a little sassy, because all night she kept playing like she was the player. She kept being like, oh, yeah, you know, because I'm an asshole, you know, like, you know, she kept kind of referring to herself in her own game, you know. And so in that moment, I would like kind of felt a little bit, you know.
So that's your story.
Yeah. No, nope, gets okay. better. Okay. Okay. I'll try to condense because we're probably low on time. I'm a little verbose. Sorry. So cut to a year later.
Uh-huh.
I don't know this girl. I don't have her information. And I always felt bad about what I did to her, even though that was kind of funny. A year later, I'm back in New York. Different hotel room. I'm at the Ace Hotel with the same girl I went to Tokyo with, Erin. It's midnight. I'm single at the time. That relationship did happen, epically failed a year later, and now I'm single again. I'm on Tinder. It's like midnight. This girl's picture pops up on Tinder, and I swipe right, and she swipes right at exactly the same moment, and we match. And I'm like, Erin, because we're sharing a room, I'm like, holy shit, this is the girl that I ghosted a year ago. We just matched. And so I messaged her immediately, and I'm like, and I actually felt really contrite. I was like, I'm so sorry. I owe you an apology. I threw you out of my hotel a year ago. I didn't even tell you my name, but it wasn't because you weren't nice. You were adorable, and I liked you, but I was nervous and guilty because I was seeing someone at the time. And please let me take you to dinner and make it up to you. So, and she was like, oh my God, no, that's cool. I was wondering, like, you know, I went back to the cubbyhole, you know, never saw you again. And I told her I lived in LA. And so we made a plan to meet up the next night, and we did. And we ended up having a romantic encounter. I ended up, because I was sharing a room with Erin, I remember I got my own hotel room because I was like, sorry, E, I'm gonna bail on you and get my own room because I think this might work out. Mm-hmm. We end up hooking up, having a really lovely time. And even to the point where, like, we went to brunch the next day.
All right, get to the point. Get to the real point.
Get to the point. Yeah. She ends up fucking ghosting me.
Okay. I knew it.
Really nice time.
What was her name?
Megan. I don't remember her last name.
Did she have a line? Did she have a cool line?
Yeah, when she ghosted you, did she fucking...
No.
Thought about it for a whole fucking year.
I went back. She actually sent me a really nice text. So I went back to LA, sent her just like a normal text, like just keeping in touch. Nothing. Crickets.
Wow. Yeah. You know what's interesting is... we had Mike Faverman on this podcast sitting in your exact seat. And Mike told this story.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Mike told this story about how he was at a bar and there was a...
You just want to make me uncomfortable again, don't you?
No, there was a woman who was drinking, but she was mentally challenged. And then at the first bar, somebody was like, dude, leave her alone, move on. And then he goes to another bar. And then he meets that woman again. They end up having sex. And then the next morning, she leaves, and she's, you know, like when you're a walk of shame, right? And he gets in his car. He's on the freeway, right? He's on going into the freeway, and it starts raining. And he sees her, and he doesn't stop, and he gets on the freeway. And I was just thinking to myself, as you told me the story of when you ghosted her, like, why do I sit here and accept that if a woman says something shitty about how they treat another person, but Mike Faverman, I was like, fucking piece of shit, but with you, I'm all like, oh.
You're a sexist, man.
I know, but that's what I was sitting here
thinking.
That's
why I told you. I said I would probably be okay with it if it was a woman during that other podcast.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's not right, but.
But yeah. In my defense, I redeemed myself. I apologize, and it was heartfelt. And she also got revenge, so we can all feel good about ourselves.
I know, right. But
you didn't even
it'll
know
be a
her
mystery.
Name.
Slam the door,
okay, fuck, dude.
That's a retarded girl on the over ramp, and it's raining, and you don't stop. That's the same fucking thing.
Is it also bad that my friends and I made wanted posters, like as a joke? my friends were like, "These are going to be up at the Cubby Hole."
Holy shit!
They super like as a joke. My friend, right. I told her the story. Oh.
Interesting.
Well,
wow.
She's fine. She was the player. She did it to many
and I will
before
say
me.
Too that Jess told both of her stories to Mike mostly.
Oh.
You did, which is fine.
I just have that face.
He's just my safe place.
Right. It was a lot of eye contact with Mike. And she was telling them both to him.
Yeah.
Now, she gave us a little bit more eye contact on the second story, but she totally was avoiding us.
Isn't that, not intentionally.
On the first story.
Yeah, people online said that too.
Wow.
But she is also a little bit nervous
totally.
To be around you guys.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
She said prior to coming in here.
I was like, I'm so glad Calzone falls on the Calzone's ear today.
You seek out the Italian people.
Totally. Yeah.
So again, you're nervous to be with me and Felicia?
I'm just nervous to live.
See what you do to people.
So that's interesting.
No, this is my
so either
first time.
So your stories are okay. You know what we're gonna do? Are there any questions?
No, Ken does. He says that he could see Catherine doing something like that, and I apparently they're good friends. And Raver Basher says, "Can you one more time describe Arissa and small of her back thighs, things like that?" But no, that's pretty much it.
Okay. Well, so what we're going to do is, Michael, do you have anything you would like to add to the conversation?
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. Everything that I know about you, as far as, like, how sweet you are. Because she ghosted you, but you kind of poltergeisted her. You like, pushed her out, right?
Yeah.
Like, there is a difference.
There is a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't, like, just, like, a disappear, clean getaway. So I guess if I had to pick what seems most out of character for what I know about Jess, I guess the second one does feel like maybe I couldn't see her doing that.
Oh, well, that's nice. I like that. Okay. I like that rationale.
Can I make a comment about your second story?
Yes, can I stop you?
I think the second one is bullshit because you turned down a threesome like that. Like, oh, blonde twins? Yeah, nope. Who else we got? That's crazy to me.
That is a good point.
I like
that
it.
Very so, good point. Do you think that you are a player? Like, are you for a lesbian a player? Like, I don't know. Like,
are you showing off your fingers?
you know, this is genuinely a difficult answer because I've been in mostly long-term relationships, okay. like okay. 9 years, eight years, really? 3 years.
Okay, but in the middle, you get all sloppy.
But in between.
In the middle, you're like I'll sizzle with anybody, any of these bitches.
I make the most of that fucking time in between. So.
Okay, fair enough. All right, so why don't we have Austin go over Mike's first story really quick, and we'll take a vote on Mike's first story.
And real quickly, guys online, if you'll vote now, I'll tally you guys up before we all vote ourselves on Mike's story. So story one, he is both a child and a grown man that loves professional wrestling, especially Bret the Hitman Hart. All he wanted when he was eight and at a wrestling show was the wrestlers to slap his hand when they enter, but his hero Bret Hart gave him his glasses, and that thrilled him so much he peed his pants in front of the Canadian hero. Story two, his high school nickname was Struggles the Clown because he was not the clown.
You're adding the clown. You added the clown. And now it hurts all over again.
Struggles was not super great.
You see him with his little sidekick, Struggles and Bubbles. Struggles.
I love Struggles.
You should go as Struggles Falzone.
It's pretty good. We got to stand out.
And Falzone's real, right? That's a real name?
Do you think that's a stage name? Because yes. Italians are getting so much work.
That's true.
Sopranos are really popular. Who can I be? Holy shit.
When I tell my girlfriend, I mention your name on occasion, she's like, every time you say that, I think Donald Faison and Calzone.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, good company. Yeah.
So, Struggles was not super great at most things, but especially sports, and his baseball coach once told him to go grab some balls and throw them in the outfield, so he leans down to grab some out of the dugout, hits his head on a rusty sharp thing, and makes his face to start bleeding, and his coach called him Struggles, and then he cried the rest of high school, pretty much.
Yeah, more or less.
Yeah.
Well, I, I want the wrestling story to be true, though. It's such a cute story, even though you peed yourself. He probably yeah. didn't even notice.
And being a musician, it's hard to see you being so uncool.
Yeah, very true.
You have to be cool to be a musician.
What instrument did you play?
I played guitar and I sang.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you were a singer, though. You have to be a little wimpy.
I'm going to say, and we're all going to take a vote. You're going to vote, too.
Okay.
I'm going to... you vote first.
Well, only because he said he was a singer as well. Because like all I can imagine is those guys playing the acoustic and really getting on my fucking nerves at the parties. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean.
Wouldn't it be great if he just took out a guitar?
Yeah. Let me sing a song about what you mean.
Let me explain to you in verse.
And how it really hurt me. I'm going to say that the second one's true. I'm going to say the first one's a lie. I'm going to say that the wrestling is a lie.
Do I wait for everyone to vote before I say something?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Only because you said you were a singer, too. If you had just been a guitarist or a bass or drummer or something like that, I think that would have been a lie.
Okay.
That's the only thing I'm basing it on.
I like your reasoning.
I mean, it's very specific.
And you said plausible when you were asking questions. Oh, yeah, that could be plausible, you know, so.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Were you always wearing enough sweatbands to make them look like socks if you needed to in a jam?
I don't know. Well, what's always?
When somebody online mentioned that had to be a lie because you didn't mention how blistered your feet were from not wearing socks.
Yeah, you brought up
but he didn't get to start.
Yeah, but even if you wear socks
right.
with
he
tennis shoes.
You don't get a ton of blisters on the bench, you know?
Maybe.
That's a lot of sweatbands, though. Like, you were always, like, at least
two
deep on each arm?
Sweatband, like, forearm sweatpants.
And
it was like this.
Yeah. Did you have, like, regular socks? You just didn't have your baseball socks?
I had, like, the socks I went to school with, which would have been, like, ankle socks,
right?
But not, like, my knee high.
Right. Yeah. The other day. So it wasn't like he was completely without socks.
Right. Okay.
But why would he? Yeah, but then why would he bring up the thing about baseball sand and all that if he had socks on and that little tidbit? That's weird.
Because still, you know, you know, the judge.
I like the details, but I still think he's embellishing the lie.
Oh, so you think the second one is a lie?
I'd like to register my vote.
Yes. Okay.
That.
You
struggles.
Have to sign in online, and you have.
You know
to,
the expression: "The struggle is real. The struggle's not real." In my opinion,
I didn't know we're all doing catchphrases.
I'm just saying,
wow.
The struggles be fake.
And so, Mike, you think which story is the lie?
Well, here's what else I'm thinking is it would be an easy thing to add to go because it's kind of iconic, the giving away the sunglasses thing. Maybe he did get to slap his hand, but he just didn't get the glasses.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
See?
I'm gonna go ahead and say I think that fuck. I think that the first what are you going with, Felicia?
God, it's so difficult, you know. But dungarees, like, who remembers fucking when they were little kid like our had
my dungarees on?
My mother still calls them dungarees. Right?
It's a generational thing.
Oh, now that is a little bit of a ding because he was like 15, 16. Would you still call him dungarees?
No, he was eight or something.
But
right?
Yes, he did still call him that when he was 15. That's why they called him Struggle. Yeah.
Just started calling him jeans. Just
he's wearing dungarees now.
All right, I'm going to say the, I'm going to say the wrestling one is a lie. What are you going to say?
I'm
going to
say the wrestling one's a lie.
Okay.
Also.
Oh, you guys are with me?
I don't know. What do you say?
I think the wrestling story is true. That sounds like roadshow magic. If I
all right. Yeah.
And everybody online has voted. Well, not everybody. Some folks have. Ken actually just switched because of the blisters thing. So he is now saying that the first story is true, and so is Lindsay. In promo, Leah thinks that the first story is a lie.
Interesting.
And somebody said, shout out Smithtown Water Department. Does that mean anything
nope,
to anybody?
Okay. Not a thing.
How can you read accents?
Well, because it says Water Department.
Is that, you know what, is that code for vagina?
That's another lesbian bar, the Smithtown.
I think Smithtown Water Department. I think my third story takes place in the Smithtown Water Department.
I'm switching my vote. I'm going to say this. I'm going to go with Ken. I'm going to say the second story is the
lie. Well, now Ken's switching. So
he's
a little bastard.
What is happening?
Ken's stressing me out because I got to start picking whatever Ken's not. Us going together, we
Ken doesn't know
every
Catherine.
Time.
Ken's playing the game. Ken's
so
lying,
thinking,
too.
I'm going to say the struggles thing is still the lie. I think it happened to someone else
the
and not you.
The struggle is real.
The struggle is not real.
It is real.
Okay. All right. So we ready? Did you vote?
Yeah, I think the Hitman Hart
story is a lie.
True.
Okay, I think the first story is true. What is
you
the lie?
You do think the first story is true.
Yeah.
So now the three of us are all first story, and you're still voting second story is true.
She always wins.
Well, not always.
Right. Okay, what is the lie?
You say you always win?
Not
just
always.
Tell us the fucking lie.
The first story
is
the lie.
Is the lie? Damn it! Damn it, Struggles!
Yes! You can't call me that anymore. I won.
I will never call you that anything else as long as we know one another.
How many cool details, though, in the first one?
Yeah. Wait, so was I right about you getting to slap his hand, but you didn't get the glasses?
I slapped his hand. I did not get the glasses.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Evans for the win.
I touched his leg. I didn't even slap his hand.
What a touch.
But I still peed my pants. Who's in?
So a lot of it was true.
Aww.
Yeah.
But that's dungarees?
Good. That's what my dad calls them.
That's an East Coast thing. You know, to your credit, I was like, there's no way Falzone's not good at sports. I'm like, hell no.
Thank
really?
You so much.
Thank
so
you. Earnest.
Junior Olympic baseball team.
Really?
Didn't play a goddamn minute in basketball. Pretty good at baseball.
You're good at baseball, right?
Yeah,
you're
what?
Good. Yeah, yeah, I can see you look like a baseball player.
Thank you so much.
That's why I wasn't believing.
I could spit on some grass.
Yeah,
but he doesn't mention baseball in his website. He mentions...
Shortly stop. That was my position.
Shortly stop. Oh, that's good.
All right, so
we're all comedians.
We're going to move on, and now you're going to tell the next round of stories real quick.
Story one for Jess. She took a last-minute fancy trip to Japan, and the last few nights she was there, she was alone but was feeling a little extra fancy, so she got a nice room. Then she went and checked out the gay scene called Goldfinger, where she sang lesbian ballads at a karaoke place, and she tried to hit on a non-English-speaking girl, but luckily there was a translator there to help. So they go to a little secret lesbian bar called Rabbit Holes, and then go to a Madonna bar, where she invites the two Asian ladies back to her fancy hotel, and doesn't hook up in front of the tranny, but gets busted by her anyway.
Translator. Yeah. Just say translator.
Yeah. Well, that's slang, right? Tranny is translator?
No.
Is that...
Okay. Not really.
It's slang, all right.
So that's the first story.
Oh, no.
Story two.
Jesus, Austin.
She's on another fancy trip, this time to New York's Cubbyhole, and she's with Catherine Narducci from Bronx Tale fame. who is a straight actress, but she tried to match Jess up with other lesbians and finally found one that she could take home and make out with, neglecting her.
I feel uncomfortable about women objectifying women like that.
Wow. She was trying to help
we
out.
We can't be friends.
It was nice while it lasted. Okay.
Unless you want to be the sexy friend.
Yeah. I was going to say. That's true.
So she's making out with this stranger, neglecting her at-home almost girlfriend, and then boots the chick in the morning with a zinger. And
a zinger? What was that zinger?
It was a...
It'll be a fun story.
It'll just be a fun mystery.
Mystery, yeah. And,
I am going to use that spun. Somewhere, though.
That might be our new tagline. It'll be a fun mystery. So she boots a chick, blah, 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 until a year later she's back in New York and Tinder matches with the ghosted girl. She apologized, they hook up, and then this girl ends up ghosting her in a sweet moment of revenge.
In a polite way, though. She just didn't text back.
Yeah.
She was just like, this is how you ghost people, bitch. Mm-hmm.
Right, she didn't send you like an emoji door.
No zinger. Yeah.
She should have just videoed, yeah. Like, stop me the door. That's
funny. Wow. You deserved it.
That's interesting. It's interesting that your stories aren't, you know, I mean...
Are both offensive?
You did.
No. Aren't that... they're kind of, you know, about your prowess. You know what I mean?
You did sleep with the Asian woman?
Oh, do I have to answer this? I currently have a girlfriend.
Well, yeah, but this was the past year.
Yeah.
Nobody's listening.
We had a we had a romantic encounter.
Yeah.
Okay, that was right. And then you just emailed a few times. Your girlfriend wouldn't get upset by that.
What? I told her she can't listen to this already.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, not because...
She was like, whatever, fine.
You can't listen to me.
Pick up every fucking chick on the planet. Was it around the world.
Did you have a good time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
No question.
In the first story, there just happened to be a translator at the bar people were at.
She was not like a translator, like official UN. She was just the only English-speaking person of the group. She like worked in finance. She just studied in America, so she spoke English.
You see, but the Japanese, I think a lot of them take English classes.
The Japanese.
The Japanese.
You know what they say about the Japanese. Most of them take
English classes. I didn't know that Wellington's role was like very much like the consultant. Yeah. In this. Like, I haven't listened to enough episodes to realize.
In this room, I would imagine Jessica like, knows the least.
She's like the fucking staff expert on.
I bet she knows more
every,
than most people.
Every topic. Yeah. She's like ants, as a matter of fact.
What else do you know about the Japanese?
They had kamikaze pilots.
Yeah.
It's the second best lesbian bar in the Nikkom district.
Is it really?
No.
Okay.
And you know their national anthem. Ho, 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 ho.
That tanked.
Yeah. See, it's not funny. It's not funny. It's not funny.
If that had just been playing in the background, that might have been funny.
I could have pulled it up.
Yeah, it is. It is
so good. It's an effort thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, the Japanese are a very stoic people. And
wow, that's the first time I ever heard you use the word stoic. Okay.
And, you know, they like to be smarter. They're the smartest of the Asians.
No. Oh, man.
There's science to prove it.
I would like to
now
remind...
we're going to get letters from the Chinese.
I would like to remind everybody that things that are said on this podcast should not be a reflection upon the Comedy Store. Okay, everyone. Okay, okay.
Well, they like to be number one, Japan.
I think it's fair to say that they are ambitious.
Yes. So I feel like a lot of them would have spoken English, at least some, and more than just pretty Cameron Diaz. Whatever that she said.
Well, and somebody brought up, if it was only 3 years ago, why didn't you just use, like, your phone to translate?
That's very true.
Oh,
who
yeah.
Who the fuck wants to do that?
Right? See, why? We have to take an ugly circle to get to the good part.
No, all these racist comments have a goal.
We're all heading somewhere.
I did use my phone, like, but more for the emails. We use Google Translate. Like, it's not, if you've used Google, it's not practical, like, when you're trying to have a conversation.
She could have typed something and you could have passed back the phone back and forth.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
As your girlfriend's, soon-to-be girlfriend's picture comes up on it as your screensaver.
Right.
All right, so, well, what do you think, Jessica?
Well, I guess because of that, I think the Japanese story's false.
Based on those facts.
In summation.
Ken Lofgren just quoted.
I just peed a little more.
cherry piss my pants.
Kim Lofgren just wrote in quotations of the Asians. Y'all think my kung fu fighting's bad.
Oh, terrible. Oh, anyway, so
I watch Bobby Lee a lot, so
that's okay.
That's what he said.
He said what?
If they like his dad used to rate the Asians from one to whatever.
Uh-huh.
So it was like Japanese were always number one.
Okay. Anyway.
This kamikaze Bobby, pilot's going down
that
fast.
Might be Bobby Lee's story to share, not yours. Okay. I'm just saying.
Let's bring him out.
I actually listened to Bobby's episode to prep for this. Where he opens by saying something like, what does he say? Like, I'm half Asian and half Down syndrome.
Yes.
That's his lead. That's what he opens with. He's crazy.
Raver Basher said he's watching Asian porn tonight. Thanks, guys.
Oh, come on. Let's be kind. I don't know why I had to. I know, but you know, I hope we don't get in trouble. What do you think, Mike? Which one is the lie?
The whole time I thought the second one was the lie, but I don't know why the first one would be the truth. Like, there's nothing that jumps out about the first one where I'm like, that's totally the truth.
And I can't imagine in Tokyo, even if you got a discount for what hotel was that?
The
Peninsula, that it's the penthouse is still only
$400. Oh, no, it wasn't a penthouse. It was just a suite.
Oh, I thought you said it was like a penthouse.
She did say suite.
It was a suite overlooking the palace gardens.
It's so expensive there.
It's crazy. I could be wrong. It might have been $500, but it definitely wasn't more than $500. I mean, what kind of money do you think I...
Ken didn't think that the price of the plane ticket checked out.
Seemed very low.
I mean, I don't know. I've never flown that far, so...
Yeah, what do you think, Michael?
I'm wondering if... what's weird, I didn't realize that it wasn't like an official translator type of person involved. Like, so this woman that you weren't really getting involved with, and in fact, she's just getting in the way mostly, she still rolled to the suite.
Mm-hmm.
She seems kind of straggly, third wheely. Like, was that? That's the only reason I'm thinking I could maybe not believe the first story is because that just seems like a strange setup and dynamic of people.
Right,
to
and
roll
at
out.
That point, okay. You don't need the translator once you get her to your room.
Right,
right. Like, you just like, see you later, lady. Thank you.
Yeah. I couldn't even invite Arissa without. That's the problem.
Yeah, but
it's also and maybe this is my being fucked up is like if it was a situation where it would have been like her friend and you were a guy, mm-hmm. I could see that behavior of doing that because you want to be protective over your friend when it comes to a man, but then I don't think I would do that if I was a woman.
You know,
jealous though, like if she said that the translator was like also into her, but she wasn't reciprocating, then you want to ruin everyone's time because you're the third person not getting it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you know, if this is a lie, that means she had to make up the name Arissa.
Oh. And that, my friends, is racist. Yeah.
We don't like that at all.
My first and last appearance on this show.
You know what? Maybe on that, I might have to go second one to lie now. There's no way she would make up Arissa. And if she did, that's pretty fucking funny.
But she did just do that voice right before she said Arissa. She did change her L's to R's to kind of mock it a little bit. So she might have just been going along with the joke.
But she has been doing the joke. That's part of her, like, I've seen you do the joke a bunch of times. So I could see you.
This is
it's a different.
We're just running bits.
It's a different racist joke, but yes, you have seen me do a Japanese.
What is that when people get together to confront someone?
An intervention.
It's an intervention. You gotta stop doing that racist fucking bit.
There's no cameras right now. We're just telling you about your.
Yeah,
bit.
Right.
I'm gonna
all
say
very elaborate.
My gut tells me that the second one, there were a lot of like. Things that didn't add up for me in the second one. So I'm going to say the second one was false.
I, too, am going to say second one is a lie.
Really? I'm going to say I kind of feel like I'm a little stuck on the money and getting a ticket right away to go to Tokyo, and it was only $1,000.
Less than.
Yeah, because sometimes when you get a ticket the day before, you do get lucky, and you're like, fuck, I didn't think, I thought it would be like $300.
Yeah, but then Border Patrol's not like...
I wasn't going to Texas.
What?
Patrol.
No, what do you mean, Border Patrol?
When you fly out, you have to go through customs and stuff when you fly in and out. And a lot of people, when they go by themselves and fly only for a day or two, they stop them because they're like, oh, are you drug trafficking? Why are you just going for a day by yourself? Oh.
But she wasn't going just for a day. She went for
a week.
Oh, okay. I thought you said a short little trip.
No.
And she wasn't by herself, right?
Correct.
You were with Aaron.
Oh, I thought you met her there.
Someone was listening.
Sorry. So I'm doing a lot over here. Okay, give me a break.
So when you just took off... When you just took off to Tokyo for a week, who took over the plastic surgery business?
So that's exactly why we were able to go last minute. Our boss was out for the week, and so Erin was already going. She popped into my office. She's like, when are we ever able to go? Because he's out
next
week.
And why was she going there?
Oh, just for pleasure. Just for fun.
Yeah.
And we love to travel, but we never get to travel together because one of us usually has to stay and hold the fort down.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a unique opportunity.
A couple people online are saying, no way is Arissa a Japanese name.
Oh, I like that. Oh,
but it could be, couldn't it be a name that somebody Japanese chose for themselves?
Yes.
To interact with America? Because that happens, right?
Yes.
You ever really talk to someone in customer service on the phone and they're like, I'm not going to do an accent, but they'll say their name is like Jeff.
Do an accent, Mike.
And you're like, I know you're not Jeff.
You guys, I have a Japanese girlfriend named Natalia.
You have a girlfriend?
She's my girlfriend, yeah.
Her friend.
Oh, yeah.
Like, named we're girlfriends.
Natalia, yeah.
This is where we should totally make out right now.
We should just that moment like...
Yeah.
I'm going to say the second story is a lie. I think I think both stories did happen. I think the second story, you have changed the characters around and you're not the character that you're saying you are in the second story.
All right, guys. You feel like you do what you got to do. Whatever.
And you think the first story is a lie.
I do.
Oh, my God.
I
do too.
The first
okay. Oh, I'm totally going to fuck up.
She's
all right.
Intense.
So what is...
Leah, Ken, and Raver and Lindsay all think her first is a lie.
Oh, now I'm going against everybody.
That's except okay. for everybody in this room.
Oh, okay. We're together. And Mike, you say the...
Yeah, there. Yeah, he's with you.
Yeah, wait. Okay. I know I agreed with you. What do we say? Second story is a lie.
Second story is the lie.
I'm cool with second story is a lie. That's what I feel best about.
Yeah, I think the second story is a lie. It did happen. I think it's the characters.
Does the whole internet disagree with us? That does feel shitty.
Yeah, they do.
That's scary.
All right.
Okay. They're saying things we don't.
Well,
but nothing new.
So which one is the lie?
First story is a lie.
Yeah.
You guys can suck it, dude. Just suck it.
I
you
no longer
made
trust
up the
my
name
gut.
Arissa.
No, in everyone's defense, there was no, there was a kernel of truth. I did meet a girl, and her name was Arissa.
Okay. Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Was the real part.
Yeah, that was the real part.
And the translator and the whole thing, that was
the trip was true, and like all those details. I figured if I had something that was, you know, had some true details, but And there was one person that spoke English, but there wasn't a love triangle. No one came back to my suite. There was no romantic encounter.
Oh, so you bought that big fancy suite just for yourself?
Shit went empty.
You wore three robes.
Yeah.
Just walked around.
When she goes, and we texted back before, they were so cute. Wow, you guys have been awesome storytellers. Thank you so much for joining us.
This is so much fun.
At the Liars Club. Where can people catch what you're up to next?
I've got a few shows coming up. I'm going, I got into the Midwest Queer Comedy Festival and Comedy Festival in Detroit and Louisville. Going back to New York next month to do some shows there. Just trying to hit the road as hard as I can.
Where can they find all those dates and stuff? Like on your Instagram?
Yep. Instagram is at Jess Insera, InSerra. It's kind of a tough name to spell, but yeah, I post all my dates there and I'll be back at the store pretty soon. I'll be, back in a few weeks. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Thank
and
you.
What about you?
Everywhere on the internet at Mike Falzone, like Calzone with a F, F-A-L-Z-O-N-E. And I have a crowd work show that I run at the Laugh Factory, and that's on August 5th.
It's a great show.
Yeah, man, it's fun. We got Andrew Santino and Ian Edwards, Rachel Scanlon, and Renee Bach, and me.
Wow, wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful.
www.struggles.com/hitman.
/hitman.
Yeah.
And Michael, where can people find you?
You can find me at High Five Michael on Instagram. You can find me tomorrow here in the Belly Room.
Ooh, yes.
For the Liars Club Live episode. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
We have Brendan Schaub confirmed as well.
Yeah. What a show.
Yes. And Jamie Kennedy.
And Jamie Kennedy. Well, we love Jamie.
Yeah. I'm seeing Jamie tonight.
Jamie.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's really awesome.
I just did a show with him first. first time ever with
him.
Isn't
he a sweetheart?
Yeah, he's a doll.
He's really kind. Very
super
kind
cool.
Gentleman. What about you, Austin?
I'm the Austin Walker on everything. Follow our Twitter, which is Liars_Club, and our Instagram, TheLiarsClub1. Subscribe to our YouTube, of course, and all that same old stuff.
Wonderful. And for you people that are listening instead of watching, know that we go live at the Comedy Store YouTube Mondays at 4:30-ish and most Fridays at 8:30-ish. And like Michael said, we have our first Comedy Store show here, The Liars Club, in the Belly Room, which is one of my favorite rooms in the whole country. It's the room I kind of started comedy in.
Super cool. So
it's really fun that we get to do that. And we have a show in at the Ice House.
In like 12 days.
Yes.
Every second Friday of the month.
Yeah, exactly. And you can follow me all across the board at Felicia Michaels. And do me a big favor, if you have Amazon Prime, please go watch Pervs. It's my comedy documentary that won a prize for best documentary. And I'm very...
Oh, Jess, you'll be into it. You should watch
it. It's one of those projects I've worked on so long. And then when I finally got it done and like took time off of it, I'm like very, very proud of it. But if you could go
watch
that.
But no women objectified in it?
Oh, no, there is. There's a woman.
Yeah. Oh, that's why. I like it.
Yeah.
Sweet.
We made sure.
Just checking.
But if you could go watch it and leave a review, that would just be awesome. And Jessica?
Yeah, thank you guys. Follow me at JessWellington2 on everything. You guys have been wonderful. Anybody else got something to say?
Just that we appreciate your viewership. We appreciate the people that are coming on and playing the game with us. We just want you to know that we've been doing this a year now, and we're so excited how the podcast has grown, and it's because of people like you. Thank you very much, you guys.
Okay, this sounded like Sesame Street. Because of people like you. Is that it? I just want to make sure my thing doesn't get interrupted.
Okay.
Okay. Mike?
No.
Well,
oh,
I have
to.
All right, sorry.
And you have been lied to.